Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, coming to you 5 days a week. Like I said, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I really kind of like that slogan a lot, as you know, it's very fitting. We're the only podcast network coming to you like this with all NFL teams, all NBA teams. There's, you know, a national podcast for both. There's fantasy for both, for basketball and football. There's a ton of information out there, and these are a great way to kind of get it and catch up on things around any league you follow, to really kind of dive in with any team that you follow. Obviously, you're a Pelicans fan or you wouldn't be here. So thank you definitely for listening. I'm recording this on Tuesday night, election night, where some bizarre things are happening. The Pelicans played tonight as well. They were in Sacramento on the second night of a back-to-back, playing the Kings. I was flipping back and forth between election coverage and the game. You know, frankly, regardless of how you feel about the election tonight and whichever candidate you were rooting for, we're not going to talk politics on this podcast whatsoever, really. But sometimes, you know, whether you're happy, sad, whatever it might be, sometimes there are things larger than sports, and an election night is certainly one of them. So, you know, anyone who missed the Pelicans game last night, I don't fault you whatsoever. Definitely an important thing to keep track of. But the Pelicans did play. They fell to 0-8 with a 102-94 loss to the Sacramento Kings. Not your usual Sacramento Kings team, not that dysfunctional team of years past. But still, Pelicans fall to 0-8 on the season to start the year. The last 0-8 start they had was actually 04-05 when they were then the Hornets. So this is not good history for the Pelicans to be following whatsoever. That was before they really got good. So not what you want to see. It kind of really puts a damper on the season. Playoffs are already certainly out of, you know, the picture here, despite what Alvin Gentry's saying about his son's team after they fired a head coach and then went on to make the playoffs. I think he mentioned one was the Spurs, but I might be wrong on that as well. I know they're looking for inspiration to kind of keep this team fighting and afloat, and obviously you saw some of that tonight. The game might have been a little bit closer than 102-94, but also you can make the claim that it was a greater differential than that. So we're going to dive into that. Today, I'm exhausted from everything today. Like I said, I was half watching the game, half watching the election coverage. So I promise you guys a bit of a different podcast today. I'm going to use those clips from the Dunked On podcast where they talked about the Pelicans, where it was Nate Duncan and Daniel LaRue talking about that. I'm going to do that tomorrow. I'll have time to record that during the day for you guys, give you just a different perspective on the team rather than my voice talking the entire time to you. But hopefully you don't hate me, and clearly you're listening in. So thank you guys for that. That makes me happy. Don't forget, we are on iTunes, Audio Boom, any of the podcast apps, so you'll be able to get this podcast 5 days a week. I get them out at 6 a.m, assuming I'm not having internet troubles, which happened on Monday. But 6 a.m. for you guys, for whether you're showering, whether you're just getting ready, making breakfast on your drive to work, they're there for you. You know, whenever you need them, do you want to listen to it on your lunch? Go for it. On your drive home from work, right when you're picking up the kids or running errands, that's always a great time, kind of tune out from everything. I think a lot of people need that right now. So make sure you're listening, you know, 5 days a week. That's what we're coming to you. We'll have other times where I might be twice a week, sometimes on the weekends, depending if there's a big trade or something I really want to talk about right away. With an 0-8 team, that's not really the case. So today we're going to talk about the game against the Sacramento Kings. What happened in that loss? What can we take away, if anything? For those who weren't watching, I'll fill you in a little bit. For those who were watching, I think you kind of already know what went on here. After that, I'm going to just talk about really quickly if there's anything to play for the rest of the year. Right now, that's is there? It's a great question. But we'll dive into some of those topics, and I point out some things we really would like to see improve for this Pelicans team going forward and before we hit the end of the season or even potentially earlier than that. So the loss against Sacramento, the Kings, standard Pelicans game, which ends in a loss. Anthony Davis put up 34 points, 8 rebounds, 4 blocks, pretty good night stats-wise overall for him. He was very active, which is nice to see that he's still engaged despite his body language being really down. This is a guy who is carrying the team, putting them on his back. He could easily quit and not care, and I don't think a damn person would fault him whatsoever if he just mailed in a game, and he isn't doing that. That's really nice to see. He's already under a new contract. It's not like he's really got much to play for right now other than just kind of wanting to, and this is who he is. So it's nice to see him not mailing in games. So Anthony Davis had his good game, usual. Etuan Moore scored in double digits. He did his normal Etuan Moore thing. He's the other reliable guy on the Pelicans. And then for the standard Pelicans game, so you have Davis, you have Moore, and you always have one other random player who kind of gets in double digits as well. And today it was Buddy Hield. He had a pretty decent game overall on the stat sheet. He's 1-7 for 3, but he did have 14 points. He was showing he was trying to score in other ways. That's nice to see, especially for his development. Some other things to take away from this game. Again, they kept it close. At one point, I keep wanting to call them the Suns. At one point, Sacramento did have a 12-point lead. They led wire to wire in this game. So, you know, while it was close at times, it didn't really ever feel like the Pelicans were going to, take the lead. One thing to note, if you didn't watch the game, some kind of weird stuff happened at the end of the first half. About 18.9 seconds, I think, or 18.1 seconds left. DeMarcus Cousins was fouled. The Kings were in the bonus, and the officials actually messed it up, didn't call a bonus. He should have had free throws. They didn't. Pelicans got the ball. Etuan Moore scored down the court to basically give the Pelicans a deficit of 3 going into half. Officials reviewed it, realized there should have been free throws and that Etuan Moore bucket shouldn't have happened. When the teams came out of the locker room, they actually replayed those 18 seconds. DeMarcus Cousins got his 2 free throws, pushed that lead to 5 points. Pelicans got the ball back, didn't score. So after replaying a bit of time, which is something I didn't know they can do, I've never really seen, but I guess you got to get the calls right. Though going back and redoing some of the times, very odd. You don't see that. Think about what happened in the WNBA finals where there should have been a foul and there wasn't, and it was an obvious miscall and they didn't go back and fix it, and that really kind of decided a game there. So goes to show you just weird little rules twists that you're not used to seeing can happen and affect the team you root for. So it pushed basically a Pelicans deficit from 3 points to 5 points. That was a big deal. Ultimately not in the final score, but it definitely hurt the Pelicans. I've never seen part of the second half replayed after going into the break. So other things that happened during the game, the front court rotation is still very uncertain. Terrence Jones tonight got more minutes than Dante Cunningham. He was a big part of the offense. He had the third most touches tonight. People have been complaining about Dante Cunningham throughout the season, but I think part of it is the Pelicans coaching staff doesn't really trust Terrence Jones just yet. I think he might have come into the season out of shape, maybe overweight. Being at home games, watching him warm up, the coaches are putting him through a workout. He is sweating massively before every game, and you see he subs out kind of fast in his starts that he's had when he's playing other times because he just looks winded. I think he might still be trying to get into game shape. You know, kind of his mental attitude was a problem in Houston, and it's one of the reasons they kind of just let him walk, and he was kind of on the garbage pile in the NBA. And you're still seeing some of the residual aspects of that from the Pelicans. Don't forget he was hurt in preseason a little bit. That takes some time out of that as well. So I think he's just earning some trust. He started to see more of it tonight. I think eventually the Pelicans coaching staff are going to realize they have to play him more than they want to play Cunningham. He just gives you a little bit more offensively, though Cunningham's been playing better than he has defensively. He's not going to give you much, but he's had an okay game. He had a 4-block game the other night, so goes to show you. So again, third most touches. He was a very involved part of the offense. Buddy Hield, like I said, 1-for-7 from deep. The interesting thing is the Pelicans are giving him a lot of rope. They want him to kind of go out there and make mistakes. They're not pulling him, off the court with the hook or whatever it is really quickly. They're getting him back out there to play and letting him shoot and giving him a lot of leeway. He doesn't have the physical tools to be a tremendous guy who can drive like Tyreke Evans does to the rim in the NBA, but he showed a few shifty moves tonight to get in there. Unfortunately, on one, he had a great, nice, drive to the basket with a little quick step inside. He doesn't elevate and jump nearly as high as some other people. It makes finishing at the rim tough, and he got the hell blocked out of him by DeMarcus Cousins. Cousins got the ball cleanly, swatted it, kind of brutally out of play, and then nailed Buddy Hield. Buddy ended up on the ground. Kind of nice little welcome to the NBA moment. But the Pelicans are giving him a lot of leeway and giving him, a lot of chance to prove himself. If they wanted to win games, you're not putting the rookie out there, for 20 minutes a game when he's shooting 1-for-7 from deep. He started to kind of put the game together, and maybe pull the Pelicans back in himself. In the end of the fourth quarter, he had a layup. Then he hit his three. Then, of course, he fouls Aaron Aflalo, who made the three, and then goes to the line for a four-point play to basically just ice the game. So nice little moment of really good mixed with really bad. But again, he's a rookie. This is going to happen. The three-point line's different. He struggles on defense at times, especially closing out. Nate Duncan pointed this out on Twitter, where he said maybe it's just because the line's longer. He's not used to the spacing on the court, and he's kind of got to figure some out. Rookie growing pains. This is going to happen. Don't give up on him just yet. But speaking of the shooting, Buddy Hield 1-for-7. Pelicans were 5-of-21 from 3 tonight, 23.8%. We're still waiting for them to regress to the mean. Here's the thing. I'm not quite sure this is going to happen anymore. Solomon Hill showed he could be a good three-point shooter in the second half of the year for the Pacers in the playoffs, but it's a small sample size. That's not what he had done for his career. Is he actually that guy, as the Pelicans were banking on when they gave him the huge contract, or is he the guy before that who wasn't shooting well? And right now, it's showing he's not working out like the Pelicans hoped. It's only 8 games. You're not going to give up on a guy after that. But there's serious concerns if he's really going to be able to do that. Same thing with Langston Galloway. He's a better corner three-point shooter, but because the Pelicans have no backup guard right now, he's forced to handle the ball a lot of the time and initiate from the top of the three-point line in the key area. That's not his shot. He's being used wrong. That's part of the reason he's not a great three-point shooter right now. And as long as they're using him from up there, I don't know if things are going to get much better. That's going to be a problem going forward, or at least until they get Drew Holiday back or trade for another guard. Galloway was 0-for-5 tonight. He's the backup point guard. That's not what you want him using. He's an off-ball guard that can defend and shoot from the corners. Basically a role player. Pels did a good job on the defensive glass tonight, cleaned up 86.8% of, all available defensive boards. That's important. So just goes to show you they've done some things correctly tonight. They limited fast break points tonight too, which has been really important for them. They were a good transition defense team last year. This year they've been turning the ball over at inopportune times, and most of those turnovers come from the backcourt, leading to easy fast breaks for the opponents. Tonight they only had 9 turnovers. They really limited fast break points, which was really good. Limited points off turnovers. That's kind of what kept them in this. If they don't do that, this game's just a blowout and the Pelicans get run out of the building. They also limited second chance points for a team that struggles on defense. That's really important. I always used to say when I worked in finance, you want to work smarter, not harder. If you're giving up second chance points for a bad defensive team, that's working harder. Clean up that defensive glass, 86.8%. That's why the Pelicans only gave up 10 second chance points tonight. Pelicans can defend maybe a possession or two at a time. They can't defend 3-4. When you're giving up offensive rebounds and giving up second chance points, that's what you're doing. The half-court defense still looks bad. You can kind of see the Pelicans defend the first action on the play, so the first screen, the first move, whatever it might be, kind of well. And then after that, they start to fall apart. So teams that run a little bit more ball movement, intricate offenses, those are the teams that really can hurt the Pelicans, guys with good screen setters, ball handlers. That's a problem for the team. And so, you kind of seen it throughout the year. That's really me kind of explaining it to you. You've got to work smarter, not harder. The Pelicans need to just kind of understand opponent offenses and figure out what to do with them. The offense tonight did look a little bit better. It might not kind of reflect in the score with 94 total points. And I don't have the – let me see if I can find them really quickly for you guys. Their offensive rating. But here's the thing. There was more ball movement. There was less isolation offense. You've seen a lot of isolation with Anthony Davis. More post-ups, things like that. Less ball movement. You see a lot of passes, but that's not the same thing. You don't see a lot of screens being set for people to run through. Today, the Pelicans did a lot more screening, which was actually really nice. They had 8 screen assists, which is an interesting stat that they're starting to track now, which is a pretty cool one. I'm going to have an article on it kind of soon. It's basically offensive player sets a screen for a teammate that directly leads to a made field goal by that teammate. So think on the pick and roll where the ball handler finishes, or a pick in the backcourt for, you know, whatever it might be. Pelicans had a lot more of that tonight. It was kind of a more involved offense rather than the isolation passing offense that it's been, less spot up shooting essentially. That was nice to see. The Pelicans need to kind of get away from that type of offense they had been running. It's not doing Solomon Hill any favors. He shouldn't be taking, you know, mid-range jumpers. You need to get him to the rim, and you need to set screens for him to come off of, even if they're low, the screens are down low and not on the perimeter, to at least just make his life easier and get some freaking offense out of him. So 0-8, and like I said, it's the first 0-8 starts for the franchise since 2004-05 season. Playoffs are out. So what is there left to play for? And I'm going to give you, let's call them study questions or food for thought, whatever you want to use here. Is Alvin Gentry the right head coach for this team? Can he keep these guys motivated? Because it looks like they have nothing to play for right now. You kind of see it in the body language. They're frustrated. They're not executing like they should. Alvin Gentry, if he's, you know, the head coach the Pelicans wanted him to be when they hired him, is going to need to get this team right. Are they going to at least improve? Is there going to be that tangible improvement that I've said I've wanted to see from this team? Does the defense continually get better? And by the way, check out bourbonstreetshots.com. Up there, I've got an article about the good, the bad, the ugly, pretty much with this defense. I'm telling you what they're doing well, what they're not doing well. Definitely go and read it. It's going to give you some insight on where they've improved, where they need to go. Some of the areas they need to improve: don't give up stupid fouls like they kind of done. They're fouling a lot of guards and, you know, swing men who can shoot well from the free throw line and not hacking big men. That's a problem. They're giving up a high free throw percentage this year. Areas like that where they need to improve. So is Gentry the right coach? You know, he's not probably going to get fired in midseason, so he's got some room to at least show some improvement and maybe hang on to this job for another year. Another thing to play for: Buddy Hield and Solomon Hill. I already mentioned Buddy. They're giving him a lot of leeway to go out and make these rookie mistakes and just become the player they need him to be. They're playing for the future with him, and by giving him 20-plus minutes a game right now and giving him the green light to shoot, it's an investment in his future for this team. That's a nice thing to see. Let's see if he can reach that future and reach his potential and get there a little bit sooner than everyone thinks. The other guy is Solomon Hill. How are you going to get him to be a positive contributor on the offensive end? He's doing a lot of good things on the defensive side of the ball, and don't show up in stat sheets. It's tough to see his contributions at times if you're really watching him. When you watch the Pelicans on defense, don't look at the guy with the ball unless Solomon Hill is defending. Look off the ball and watch what Solomon Hill is doing. That's where you're going to see a lot of his contributions. So they're kind of hidden at times. But he also needs to be an offensive player. He's not that right now. I think they need to run more screen actions for him to at least get him to the rim and not kind of leave him in no man's land. He's not a great jump shooter. You don't want him taking long twos. The threes are one thing. He's had a lot rim out. Those should be better than they are. I don't think they're going to reach the level of his Pacers time, but he's still going to improve. But you've got to get him to score in other ways. He can't just be a spot-up shooter. So finding ways to do that and use him effectively, it's something the coaching staff hasn't done yet. And, we'll, you know, like I said, I don't think Gentry and the staff's going anywhere this season, or at least during the season, so they need to find another way. And then defensive improvement. So I talked about an area where I said they need to improve. The other thing is they're more active, just defenders in general. Hands are up. They're trying to contest shots more. But not only are they, you know, the NBA tracks it where if it's a contested shot, if someone's near them, you can be near them and not have your hands up. You're not be actively defending them. Pelicans are actively defending them. That's the kind of nice thing to see. There's an improvement there. They weren't doing that last year. Can you make them smarter, though, and figure out where the second action on an offensive set is coming from, or not make the stupid foul? That's, again, on the coaching staff. These things all kind of work together. So those are things left to play for this season. Still disappointed to be 0-8, but there are things you're looking for this team to do. All right, it's almost 1 a.m. my time here. It's my girlfriend's birthday, I guess now today. So happy birthday to Brittany here. Of course, I'm going to shout her out on this as I'm actually recording it in her living room right now. She's sleeping. She's smart. It's late. So going to let you all go. I'll be back with you all tomorrow. I'm going to give you those clips, I promise you, from the Dunked On podcast, give you a bit of a different take on the Pelicans. Thank you all for listening. Sorry the team is 0-8. Hope everyone's okay and recovering from election night, whether that's a good or bad thing for you personally. Just be safe. Don't do anything. I said it on Twitter. Don't do anything that's going to get you fired. Don't do anything that's going to hurt yourself or other people. It's all social media now, Facebook, Twitter, especially someone who has a lot of his tweets read. Don't be stupid. Just going to tell you guys that. I'm not going to preach or do anything other than that tonight. So again, thank you for listening. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, on Audioboom, on Stitcher, or whatever podcast app you're using. If there's a rating system, give me 5 stars. We want to keep doing this. This is a lot of fun. We're the only podcast coming to you guys 5 days a week that's going to give you this information. Don't forget, follow me on Twitter. It's at Nola Jake. The podcast has its own Twitter, which I have access to now. It's at Locked On Pels. Pretty simple. If you guys have questions, tweet them to me. You can also email me. It's jake@bourbonstreetshots.com. I've done the kind of a Twitter mailbag on here before. I'll do another one if I get enough good questions, so don't hesitate to reach out. All right, you guys, 0-8 team. We'll talk some more about it, break down what's going well, what isn't. I'm going to keep coming to you guys 5 days a week, even if they go 0-41, let's say. Hopefully it won't come to that. So thanks to you all for listening. I'm Jake Madison, your host of Locked On Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and enjoy your day.